Good Sunday morning. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty. I've got my co-host Keely Reger. And this morning, we are delighted to be speaking with the Honorable Judge Rachel Bringer Shepherd. And in the next segment, we'll talk to the Dameron family from right here in the Tri-States. And what we're going to talk about is foster care right here in the Tri-State. And Rachel, I'm so thankful for you being on the show. You have such a great heart for families and service here in the Tri-States. I just want to thank you very much.
Oh, I'm very honored to be invited. Thank you so much for including me.
Well, I just think that there's such a need here all over the world, but it's also right here in our own backyard. And that's one of the things we really want to hit on. And this is something that has been brought to my backyard recently, and just trying to see what we can do to get out there and help individuals get the proper placement, and not just the proper placement, but the right placement. And what I mean by that is a place where they can blossom and grow, and hopefully help them have a long-term placement. What are some things that we can do in our community to be able to help with that?
You know, I really appreciate you all bringing up this topic. We currently have approximately 168 children in foster care in Marion, Monroe, and Ralls County, and that's the three counties that are in the 10th Judicial Circuit. That 168 foster children is as of March 31st of this year.
Oh, my.
Of those 168 children, 77 of those children were placed with a non-relative, which means that they were there were family members that were looked for a placement, because the first placement is they always try to place the child with a relative so that there's as little disruption to the child's life as possible. But in 77 of those cases, there just weren't family members available to help with those children. And so they went into a foster home. And we're just so thankful in the 10th Circuit for all the foster homes that we do have. But we are always in need of more foster homes, which gives the caseworkers additional options in terms of placing children.
Yeah. And, you know, do you have any advice for anybody who maybe they're nervous about becoming a foster parent, or just to kind of help them understand the process a little bit? Because very often I'll hear people say, oh, well, I'd love to do that, but maybe I'll do it in 10 years, or maybe I'll do it, you know, in 5 years. And so what are we looking for? I love the ad that airs that says, you know, you don't have to be a perfect person. You know what I mean? You just have to have kind of the heart for service. But could you address that a little bit?
Sure. I think we have so many wonderful foster families in the 10th Circuit that have tremendous hearts for children that are in need, and willing to help in the ways that they're able to help. There's no magic solution for these very difficult situations, and we really appreciate the patience of our foster families in working through this very complicated system. I don't think anybody would ever say that our system regarding placement of children is perfect, but I think everyone is trying to make it better, and the more foster families that we have, and let me add CASA volunteers, who are able to step in and spend time and give what they're able to give to help make that better, that can only improve the results for all of the children. And that's the ultimate thing that we want, is really good permanent results for children to be safe and loved, and in a place where they're able to grow and thrive.
Well, can we talk a little bit more about that? As you mentioned, CASA volunteers. What exactly is that?
Right. Our CASA program stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocate, and those are individuals who take a significant amount of training, and they're assigned a case of a family of children. It may be one child, it may be multiple children who are in foster care, and the goal is for that CASA worker to stay with that child or children until their case is completely resolved and they receive some type of permanent placement, whether it's back home with their biological family, who hopefully are able to take them back home, or with an adoptive family or a family who can take guardianship of them. And what that does is give that child a permanent voice within the system. So if their caseworker changes, if their guardian ad litem, who is the attorney that represents abused and neglected children, if that position changes, if the juvenile officer changes, if the deputy juvenile officer changes, there's that one consistent voice who knows that entire history of that child, and also has the time, because they only have that one case, they have the time to really get to know that child and be able to be a really effective voice for that child within the courts.
Yeah, kind of providing a bit of stability for them when that may or may not have been part of their life experience today.
Exactly, and give them an opportunity to share information with someone that they have built a relationship with that maybe they are not comfortable sharing with other participants in the court process.
So a neutral party that they feel like they can trust.
Sure. It's a time, a volunteer effort that our CASA spend a lot of time with their children and going to court and helping advocate for the children, and it's a tremendous service. So that's just another way in terms of serving children who have been abused and neglected. If someone is not able to be a foster parent at this time, a CASA volunteer is another option for them.
Mm-hmm. That's a great option, and the need for that is tremendous, I'm assuming.
Yes, as I mentioned, we currently have 168 children in foster care. That was our number as of March 31st. And, we have between 25 and 30 CASAs. So obviously we have a lot more children than we have CASA volunteers in the Tenth Circuit. So we're always very happy to have new CASA volunteers.
Yeah. So if you're someone who's listening today and you feel pulled in any way, I mean, and you just aren't quite ready to go into becoming a foster parent, you know, I think, you know, CASA would be another way for you to go and still be able to help be a voice for this child.
How would someone go about getting connected if they wanted more information about becoming a CASA volunteer or a foster parent?
Right. If they want to become a CASA volunteer, they could certainly contact my office. That's 573-221-0579. They could also contact Douglas Community Services, and that's they're in Hannibal. In terms of becoming a foster parent, same thing. If they're welcome to call my number, and I can connect them with our foster parent caseworkers who do the classes. And again, my number is 573-221-0579. They could also call Children's Division directly, either in Marion County, or they could even call the number in Jefferson City.
Perfect. Perfect. I just think however we can make it the easiest route, because I know there's some people out there sitting there saying, you know what, I think this is a good fit. I've been looking for something where I can maybe serve a little bit more and hopefully getting involved. So that would be an amazing opportunity for some of our listeners here in the tri-states.
And you know, one more option, too, in addition to being a foster parent is individuals who take the training to be foster parents and are able to provide respite care for foster children. And that's basically babysitting, providing a place if the foster parents are busy or are needing a break, then we have respite care parents who are able to provide that service to foster children as well. And that's on a much shorter term basis.
Well, yeah. Go ahead,
sorry.
Kate. Sorry.
I think that's great to point out. So for somebody even who wanted to get their feet wet in the whole foster parent system, who possibly felt called, this would be an avenue. They go through the training, and they could provide respite care until such time that they felt called to potentially themselves become a full-on foster parent or not. I think this is a fantastic option to help get people used to this.
There's a lot of ways to either dip your toes in the water or jump right in with both feet. And I think we're going to have a wonderful conversation with a couple that, well, they jumped right in. So we are coming to the end of our segment here, Rachel, and we just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. We know how very busy you are, but this is something we definitely need to talk about. And again, we want to put out that you can call Judge Bringer Shepherd's office at 573-221-0579 if you want to get additional information in regards to any of the options that might be best fit for you to help out in this situation. And we encourage you to do so. Rachel, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and thank you for your concern and care and heart for our foster children.
Well, we appreciate everything you do for our community. Thanks so much. And this is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything, and we'll be right back.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag Every Child. Down Country, because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. Up at downcountry.com. Up at downcountry.com or call 217-617-3568, 217-617-3568, or visit Downcountry on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag Every Child.
Don't you think it's time for a financial advisor who takes time to explain things? Brad Kurz, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, does. Investing can seem complicated. That's why he takes time to listen, understands your needs, and explains without jargon. Experience the Edward Jones difference. Contact Brad today, 573-221-1302. That's 221-1302. Making time to take time. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
Welcome back. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty with my co-host Keely Reger. We just had the Honorable Judge Rachel Bringer Shepherd on talking about the need for foster families and CASA volunteers and even foster respite care providers and basically stating that's just an unreal need. And now we're so delighted because we have the Dameron family right here in the Tri-States on with us this morning. But it was interesting on the break, Judge Bringer Shepherd was talking about, you know, in March there was a need for 168 foster families in Marion, Monroe, and Rawls County. And Ms. Dameron here had just gotten her newsletter. Mm-hmm. And what had the number already grown to?
210 children in foster care as of August in that newsletter.
So in just a few months, the number has already rocketed up. So it doesn't take long.
Yeah. And so the Damerons are actually just celebrating their, year journey or year anniversary, but they are also the proud parents now. What was the date? What was the
August 8th was our day that we got a new, quote, baby. However, our baby came at 10 years old, 72 pounds and, 4 feet, 10 inches tall. You know, it completely throws those normal statistics out of the water when you're looking at becoming new parents. So, yes, we are new parents of a little girl who we adopted through foster care.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the story, Dakota, I'm going to throw you under the bus because I love this story. So last year, about this time, Dakota is a hunter. He's a fantastic hunter. And that Sunday morning, he had decided to go to church with his wife before going hunting. And in that church pew, right in front of him, there was a little girl. Denise, you want to share that?
Absolutely. So I talked my husband into going to church with me, and it was dove season, and dove season is much more important when you're in a, limited timeline of when you can hunt because, you work during the week. And so the fact my husband ditched dove season really was like, I'm like, oh, wow, you're going to come to church and ditch dove season? I'm so impressed. So on that Sunday morning, we were sitting there in the church, pew that my family sat in for generations, and in front of us, there was a young lady who I knew, the gentleman she was with, him and his wife had recently just jumped back on becoming foster parents. And with that, they normally foster emergency placements. So they place, they're placed with kiddos that, maybe for whatever reason, their situation isn't working where they're placed. And so kids, until they figure out, okay, we got to figure out a new placement for this kiddo, until that is figured out, they are placed with homes such as theirs. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, goodness, this little girl's so cute. She's so sweet. And she says during silent prayer, that she prays for her mom who had passed away. And I was like, oh, I have tears. And so my husband and I are sitting there. And well, we weren't even necessarily married then yet. That came later in our year. But so we're sitting there. And I'm like, listen to this. I'm like, do you think she's, available for a placement? I wonder what her story is. And we were just completely stuck on her for really the rest of the afternoon. We thought about her. We thought about, her story. And so my husband's like, well, ask the dad. you know him. Just ask. I was like, okay. So via Facebook, I had asked, what the kiddo's story was for as much as he could give me, because obviously that's sensitive information, when you're dealing with foster kiddos. But he did say, she is available for, she's a ward of the state, she's available for adoption. And I was just stopped in my tracks entirely. And I was like, I very much felt called, because there's no other way you can go about saying that I felt called to, invite her into our lives. It was, we'd talked, a few 2 weeks before my husband and I had, and how someday when we grew up, you know, we were going to foster and adopt from foster care, you know, after we had our own biological children, and, you know, and that was in our game plan, but not today. That's not on our game plan today. However, it quickly became our plan. It very quickly became our plan. We met her on Sunday morning, and then the following weekend she actually spent with us, and then she moved in with us then 2 weekends after we met her. She was permanently placed in our home.
What a fast track, and what a God thing is all I got to say, because I was actually sitting in the pew in front of her.
Oh, yes. See,
I remember that day distinctly, actually, and I, too, sitting with tears in my eyes, but I can definitely say you were called because you were the one that took action and you're like, let's do this. So tell us a little bit about what your journeys look like since the day of placement.
Oh, my goodness. There's been good. There's been bad. Husband, what do you think?
We've had some, you know, major ups and downs, mostly ups, though. I don't know how in depth you want to get with this, but...
Mm-hmm. See, there's been good, bad, and ugly. Obviously, children that are in care and in foster care have had a lot of situations that they've dealt with that, quote, normal children do not have to deal with. We were actually, Hannah is our daughter's name. We were Hannah's 16th placement since she was in foster care. So she, at the time of her being placed with us, she'd been in foster care for almost 4 years. Well, actually, right around then, it would have been right at 4 years she was placed with us. And then, so at the time of adoption, then it was, she was in care for 4 years, 10 months, and 27 days. But during that time, she was in 16 homes, and she was in over 7 school districts, give or take, within her time in foster care. And so there was a lot of baggage and a lot of shenanigans and things that kiddos, you know, normally have. They normally have love, stability, dependability, the same individuals that they know throughout their life and the same individuals that they're able to rely on. Our kiddo had none of that. She didn't have those caregivers that were in her corner at all times. She didn't have those people, you know, those parents to go home to every night. She never knew what her life was going to look like. And so with that and with that instability, of course, she can be unstable. She can be very unpredictable. And you never knew from one day to another what life was going to look like. Or, I mean, even still today, sometimes I'm like, what you did? What? You know, so we still at times are surprised by some of the different things that our daughter blesses us with you know, some of the challenges we get to oversee. So.
Yeah, but what an honor and a privilege. I mean, truly. I mean, it's interesting because when you talk about the foster care system, I think there's a lot of correlations between the field of disability and or ability.
Oh,
as you
absolutely.
Look at that, because, you know, the care of a child, there is no greater gift that God ever gives you or grants you. And that doesn't always mean that it's going to be easy peasy or exactly, you know, the cleavers have been gone a long time. And children truly who come from those kind of environments, or not environments, but 16 different homes in a very short amount of time is a lot of different homes.
Well, it gives time to develop different behaviors, as we have talked about that on the show before, or different ways of getting what you need. Survival 101, I call it. And so I think that's where you guys probably see some of these things in your home, things that you have to kind of walk through together.
Oh, absolutely. And say so many kids in care, and I previously worked at Shiloh Christian Children's Ranch. I interned there for a summer, and some of the different things I saw there with kids were same things that then were in my home each and every day. And, you know, that got interesting, that you know, got challenging. And some kiddos, you know, hoard food. Well, our kiddo didn't hoard food, but she definitely was concerned, when are we going to eat? Mm-hmm. Do we have, like, what are we going to eat? What time are we eating? We're going to eat. We always have food. Like, go look at the pantry. We have plenty of food. Mm-hmm. Like, we probably need to go through and make sure nothing's too expired, you know? So we always have, you know, we always will have food. We will always have our needs met. We always will in this house. And those simple things, and reassuring those simple things is crucial and took a lot of time to build trust around.
Absolutely. I think that trust factor is a huge thing.
Well, and I think I'm always impressed with the resiliency of the children, that children are so much better than grown-ups because you can, like,
we've gotten to be around this young lady, and she's awesome. But the one thing is, she learned. She's like a sponge, mm-hmm. because she truly wants to learn what your family's norms are.
Right.
I mean, she wants to be part of your family, and I find that so. If adults had been through what she'd been through, they would be, you know, they'd be train wrecks. But, mm-hmm. you know, she is laughing and, you know.
Oh, she's a delight.
She loves to have. She loves fun. She loves to have tons of fun all the time. She wants to have fun all the time. She wants to smile and have great days. And, you know, all the time she's like, this is the best day we've ever had. And I'm like, weird. I thought yesterday was. So all the time she loves life. And she's full of life and full of happiness each and every day, and we can learn a lot from her.
Well, I know you've said a million times you can't imagine what your life would be like without her. No,
no, absolutely not. I would, I'd be bored. I'd have so much time on my hands. My house would be clean.
That's great. So you would encourage people to give this a shot?
Oh, absolutely. I know that, you know, that's a. One of those things in which, you know, it's challenging, but it's wonderful, and it's a great challenge. And
Well, you know, Denise, God laughs when you make plans. So this is hashtag everyone talking about hashtag everything. We're going to be right back after this break. Have a blessed Sunday morning to you.
Calling all self-advocates, family members, and professionals who are interested in applying for Downcountry scholarships. Go to upatdowncountry.com for more information and to obtain a scholarship application. Still have questions? Call 217-617-3568, and Kate Doherty will guide you through the process. Don't delay. This is an amazing opportunity to gain access to national and international conferences to further your knowledge and receive CEUs. Visit upatdowncountry.com today.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag every child. Downcountry, because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. upatdowncountry.com. upatdowncountry.com or call 217-617-3568, 217-617-3568, or visit Downcountry on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag every child.
Saturday, October 28th, the Mount Olivet Methodist Church in Taylor, Missouri is having their annual Lord's Acre Sale. At 11 a.m., we serve all the turkey and trimmings a person could ask for, plus dessert for a goodwill offering. Starting promptly at 12:30 is our auction that has many homemade items, including crafts, pictures, jewelry, and food. Please plan on attending.
Welcome back. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. We have had the delightful Honorable Rachel Bringer Shepherd on and talking about the need for foster care, CASA volunteers, foster respite care, and we've had the Dameron family on sharing their story from foster parents to full-time forever family through the process of adoption and what that looked like for them. But one of the things we're going to touch on here real quick is Mr. Dameron is a police officer. And one of the things that we really would like today, hopefully with this short show, to encourage people to make the connection with this tremendous need for foster parents and CASA volunteers right here in our community, because when kids are little, we can help them, we can intervene. But the reality is, the sad reality is, what are we going to see when from a law enforcement side if we don't help get this situation, if we don't step up as a community?
You know, a majority of the time, you know, they'll have negative, you know, views of law enforcement because they're with those homes that are constantly doing the bad things. And that's kind of what they use as their role models. And, you know, I haven't been a police officer for very long, but it's not hard to see, you know, the paths that these kids are going to be taking. And, you know, just like you saw the numbers between the 168 in March and the 210, you know, kids in foster care now. Just in our area, we've had a really bad heroin epidemic, and, you know, a lot of these kids are coming from those homes. And, you know, if we can't step in to help now, you know, what's going to happen to these kids, you know, in 10 years when they're, you know, mm-hmm. early teens, you know, to late teens, and, you know, college age kids, you know, they're going to be taking those steps like their parents did. And, you know, they're not going to be around.
And it becomes a devastating cycle for our tri-state area community. I mean, if we choose to sit by and do nothing and not become a CASA or not take that step, I mean, you know, you reap what you sow. And
be
I,
that positive role model in someone's life. I think that's what I love about your story is I watch your little girl every Sunday at church, or we get the pleasure because she's connected with you, Denise, and down country. And I just think there's so many ways that we come in contact with her, and she is just... she is a bundle of joy, and I don't think that we always get to experience those things unless we step in and make that choice.
Well, and I know that some people are scared because of either they're worried like, well, what if it doesn't work out?
Right.
And the reality is sometimes it doesn't work out. But then I think the other fear people have is, well, what happens if I don't get, you know, what happens if I don't get to keep this kiddo, or
you
what happens if I get attached?
Yep.
But you were explaining earlier that you know up front going in, I'm an emergency placement, I'm a permanent placement, or what possibility may be with the kiddo.
Yes, absolutely. Say more than anything, you know and understand. You get basically, you know, briefed on the child, and you get to decide, okay, is this somebody I want in my house? Is this somebody I don't want? Ultimately, the parents, the foster parents, the, you know, emergency placement, whatever that might be, they get to ultimately have the decision. Okay, do I want to have this child? And it's scary. It's very much scary. And I think parenting overall at times, you do get scared.
Oh, it is every day.
And it's like, oh my goodness, am I really doing this right? So I know that that's a normal parenting thing as well, not just with foster parenting. But more than anything, you know, and I just always revert back to when my child, you know, was giving us challenge after challenge after challenge. And these are issues that are not normal 10-year-old issues. These are issues that, you know, were because of abuse and neglect she'd received. You know, I'm like, oh my goodness, are we making the right choice? But every day, you know, I just jump back to every child deserves a home, you know, and every child deserves to have somebody in their corner. And, you know, parents cannot give up on their kids when they are, you know, the real parents. They can't just give the child away, like, never mind, I'm done with my kid who, you know, did whatever it is. They don't have that opportunity. And so it's like, no, we're going to stick by this little girl, even though she is making me have gray hair. Thank goodness for, you know, beauty products that they provide.
Denise was one of my students, so I'm really not even listening to the gray hair comments at this point.
Yes, but nonetheless, you know, every child deserves, you know, a home and to have someone in their corner. And, you know, ultimately, whether that be through being a CASA advocate, you know, someone who does respite care, someone who just advocates overall, everybody can be, you know, that someone for a child, no matter how you do go about doing that, whether you ensure legislature passes within, you know, voting in people that believe in child welfare, whether that be through... you know, ensuring that you watch out and support individuals and, you know, support the families by, you know, providing different things, adopting a child through Christmas, whatever it might be. You can support organizations that support children in care. There's many opportunities and many different pathways, but more than anything, these kiddos truly do need parents. They truly do need moms. They truly do need dads, or, you know, whatever that, a mom or a dad, whatever that situation might look like. But, you know, kids really do need someone.
Yeah. Every child is a gift. I mean, that at the end of the day, that's what this boils down to. Every single child is a gift, and it's our responsibility to help take care of them. All right. I can't believe it. It's come to a close. If you would like more information, please feel free to call Judge Rachel Bringer Shepherd at 573-221-0579. And please, if you can't take the chance today to be a CASA volunteer, a foster parent, a foster respite, help us find somebody who can. We've got 210 children right now on the Missouri side of river right now that need a forever home. All right, this is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty, Keely Rager, and we want to say thank you to the Dameron family and to Judge Rachel Bringer Shepherd. You have a blessed Sunday. Every day, don't you know I-